So Captain Catchphrase says that at WrestleMania, he makes history by making me his bitch. Once again, he's got it half right. You see, at WrestleMania, I'm the son of a bitch that's gonna make history by whipping The Rock's ass.
I'm glad you came.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's Monday evening, and yes, it's another evening after Monday Night Raw. You know what that means. It's SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting beside James McDonald. James, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm not doing too bad. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I'm feeling like I'm getting excited about WrestleMania for the first time ever.
Why is that?
This year, I should say.
This tonight's Monday Night Raw did all that for you?
I feel like it really came home tonight. I'm a little more excited than I usually am. And I can't really pinpoint why at this point. I mean, we are only half hour after Raw has happened because, yeah, for some reason they're running really late these days, aren't they not?
I think it's just because they're heading closer to WrestleMania.
Think so?
They're going more into their run overtime.
How about you? Do you feel like you're a little more excited for the big show?
Oh, I've been excited for months, but yeah, definitely a little bit more after tonight. It's just nice to see everything finally starting to come together, you know. Mm-hmm.
We did see a couple more matches being made tonight, of course.
Yeah, it was, what did we see again?
Well, we saw, we're seeing more with this John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long thing. That's the big question mark, because my biggest question with that match is how many guys are going to be in that match? And so we kind of are getting a better idea tonight. It's nothing concrete, nothing officially announced, but a little better idea of who might be representing those two.
Do you think we're going to see Alberto Del Rio or Christian maybe in that one?
I don't know. I mean, they came out at the Royal Rumble, and then they haven't been out since.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird.
It's a little bizarre, don't you think? Regardless, this is SRL on a Monday night, and we're going to run down Monday Night Raw just like we do each and every week. Before we get going, let's remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're hip and if you're cool, you can follow along at Twitter, @SRLRadio.
You can be trendy.
Now, I went with this song tonight, James, because I went with this song tonight because, you know, The Rock wasn't originally announced for tonight's Raw from Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
No.
So are I didn't you? Know that. I thought he was always so scheduled
the big,
for it.
The big question is, are you glad he came tonight to Raw?
I don't know. After tonight, I don't know what to say about The Rock, you know?
Really?
I'm kind of feeling John Cena in this whole program, to be honest.
I think at one point this evening you said you may be cheering for John Cena at WrestleMania.
It's leaning that way. It really is.
Jeez.
I'm just not impressed with what The Rock's putting forward here.
And I told you, if you are cheering for John Cena at WrestleMania, I will call the fan... what's the word? The fan phone number that they provide in the stadium if someone's ruining your fan experience.
So I will be ruining your WrestleMania experience if I come with the bright orange t-shirt and the wristbands and the hat.
I will be texting your seat number and location to the stadium officials, and yeah, that's what's going to happen to you.
I think I'll be worried about the people around me more than you. So.
Hey, when I was at WrestleMania 18 in Toronto, and it was The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, originally I started cheering for The Rock, and the guy behind me, in the row behind me, he punched me in the back of the head.
What?
Because the entire building was cheering for Hogan, and I was cheering for The Rock, and he seriously punched me in the back of the head.
Holy man, I'm going to double think wearing the bright orange t-shirt.
Friendship is, there's more to this main event at WrestleMania than you think. Our friendship is on the line here, James.
Well, I always said that you and I should be the dark match, so.
All right, so Monday Night Raw, of course, from Boston, Massachusetts tonight. The Boston Garden.
Man, the TD Garden.
The TD Garden, yes.
They call it now, yeah.
And boy, how you and I both love the TD Garden and everyone else in Vancouver, how they must love the TD Garden. You know what I'm referring to, of course. The Vancouver Canucks in the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals.
Don't even get me going on this one. Holy.
Yeah. All right.
It's painful. If you're a Canucks fan, it's painful.
Well, let's start it off. Monday Night Raw tonight. It started with the, of all things, Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And he's rocking the cowboy hat and all. And as he's making his way to the ring, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler announced that Teddy Long will be, of course, running Raw tonight, as they previously announced.
So we can expect lots of tag matches. Woohoo!
I guess so. And I think at this point, when I saw that Teddy Long was running Raw, I think I screamed out to you and everyone else that we were watching Raw with tonight that who cares?
I know. It's just... It just seems so thrown together, doesn't it?
If you're going to, honestly, am I supposed to get excited for a guy who's running Raw who is also the guy who runs SmackDown? Because I can't even enjoy SmackDown.
And I don't know. I don't know if you follow the WWE on Facebook at all, but they're just all over this whole John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long thing on their Facebook accounts.
Well, they need all the help they can get. Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not excited about it, so.
HBK is in the ring with a microphone, and tonight, at least he's wearing sleeves with his shirt. You know, he's got sleeves on his shirt, not like when we saw him a couple weeks ago with the sleeveless shirt.
Did you read anything into the initial weak crowd reaction that HBK got?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually even
notice
that.
I thought it was a very poor reaction as he first came out. I mean, it would change as he started getting into the ring and his music stopped and he started talking, but I thought it was a poor initial reaction myself.
All right. Well, HBK with the microphone says, you know, a couple weeks ago he did come out here and he apparently caused a little trouble. He said he desperately wanted Triple H to take the match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And then he said that something's changed within Triple H and that he's changed his mind. And not only is he now wrestling The Undertaker at WrestleMania, he's made it a Hell in a Cell. HBK wants to know why, and he asks Triple H to come out from the back. Triple H's music hits and he walks out. And at this point, we have another face-to-face with Triple H and The Undertaker.
No, Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Sorry.
I know. Wow. You just want it to be Triple H and The Undertaker.
Maybe, yeah. I still am a little perplexed as to why they're bringing HBK into this entire match. But I'm guessing it's because it's possibly setting up Triple H versus Shawn Michaels for next year's WrestleMania. That is my very early prediction here.
And how would you feel about that match at next year's WrestleMania, a Shawn Michaels Triple H match?
Well, the only reason why I don't like that idea of that match is because to me, it immediately screams that Triple H will not defeat The Undertaker at this year's WrestleMania. It's very possible that Shawn Michaels could be the whole reason why Triple H does not win the match at WrestleMania 28, and that's why I don't like this idea.
Okay, well, let's go a little bit further here and we can discuss it more.
HBK says that he's put his friendship on the line with Triple H. He hit him below, this is last week, of course, or sorry, 2 weeks ago. He hit him below the belt 2 weeks ago on Raw, and he managed to convince him to accept The Undertaker's challenge at WrestleMania. He said everything low that he could, including calling Triple H a coward, but Triple H retained his dignity and he did nothing. And Triple H and the crowd didn't really like that.
I love the look on Triple H's face this whole time, too, as Michaels is talking to him. He's just got this smug look on his face, like he's going, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Really? I don't know. Just...
Yeah. No, I understand. And he said something, though. Something made Triple H change his mind. And Triple H says, Sean, and HBK cuts him right off. And he says, let's watch the footage together of what, you know, when that turning point was that you changed your mind and decided that you would face The Undertaker. And he actually asks the boys in the TV trucks to roll the footage. And I guess we're all going to witness it together, just what that turning point was. And the footage is of when The Undertaker says, you know, you can't do what your buddy Shawn Michaels couldn't do. This was 2 weeks ago on Raw. And he said, because, you know, in that video montage, Undertaker went on to say, because you know Shawn was always better than you.
And this was Undertaker talking to Triple H 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Right.
And then we also see footage right after that of Triple H accepting the match. And we come back to tonight, and Triple H says to Shawn, he tries to talk to Shawn again, and HBK immediately cuts him off, and he says, so that's what it took to convince you to accept the match, that I am better than you.
I'm loving the crowd chanting, Shawn is better at this point. Shawn is better.
That is very good.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Debatable, but very good. Triple H says, you know, this has nothing to do with me being better than you or you being better than me. I'm tired of hearing the idea that Shawn couldn't get the job done. People talking behind your back saying you were a failure. Tired of hearing people say you weren't as good as you think you are. But that's okay because I am one of your best friends and I think you are one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time. So it kills me to look at you as a loser. That's why Triple H is taking this match on at WrestleMania, and that's why he's going to finish and end the streak and the era of The Undertaker. And he's going to do what everyone says you couldn't do. Triple H is doing it for me just as much as, or Triple H is doing it for himself, I should say, just as much as he's going to do it for HBK. And HBK says, well, thanks for that. Here, I was thinking we had a problem, but we don't, because Triple H in a suit has everything under control. I watched you beat The Undertaker last year to an inch of his life, and then you lost, and I was right. And this year at WrestleMania, I know who's going to be I know who's going to win, and he'll be right again. The reason that HBK knows that is because he's been made the special guest referee.
Yeah, that's a pretty bombshell announcement tonight, I'd say.
Were you surprised?
A little bit. I didn't think they'd actually go the whole special guest referee route. I thought maybe he'd be like an outside enforcer or something along those lines, mm-hmm. but I really didn't think they'd go the special guest referee route. And to me, it kind of sours me on this match just a little bit, because in the end, the finish is just going to be tainted because Shawn Michaels is involved. Do you kind of see what I'm saying?
Do you ever see the Undertaker streak ending in a match that's been gimmicked in some sort of way?
No. Not the streak, definitely.
And
not.
That's the problem I have with this whole thing. If you are going to end the Undertaker streak, it's got to be a one-on-one match with no one else interfering, no one else's involvement. It's got to be those two guys. And for tonight, I realized I don't think Triple H has a shot in defeating the Undertaker streak.
No, I don't think the Undertaker's going to lose at all now.
And that's a shame. That's what's ruined this for me.
And it goes back to what you were saying about maybe having Triple H and Shawn Michaels in next year's WrestleMania.
This is a perfect setup for those two next year.
Right. So maybe Shawn Michaels, I don't know, screws Triple H out of ending the streak, and that kind of sets him up for next year's WrestleMania. I think you were mentioning that to me earlier.
It's a very good possibility.
It's very plausible. It's very plausible.
Yeah, I don't like that. And that, to me, has ruined this match a little bit. I mean, I'm still interested to see it, and I still think it's going to be an excellent match.
Yeah, it's still going to be a great match. But, again, it's just, for me, it just feels like whatever the outcome is, either way, it's going to be tainted because Shawn Michaels is involved in the way he is. Mm. You know what I mean?
All right. We'll get more into it on Thursday, I'm sure. We see a graphic at this point showing The Rock and John Cena later tonight. We head to commercial, and after commercial, Santino Marella's music hits. He walks out. Vicky Guerrero walks out and introduces Jack Swagger, who's accompanied by Dolph Ziggler. This is all we saw of Ziggler tonight, accompanying Jack Swagger.
I know. Well, this guy has just dropped like a rock in an ocean, eh?
And I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Like, why? Like, why are you burying this guy?
It doesn't make sense to me. Like, this guy was easily on the cusp of main event status, and they didn't, you know, they had
and
the perfect...
he should be.
They had the perfect opportunity to you know, strap the rocket on him and pull the trigger or whatever.
And now you have Swagger being in the spotlight and not even Ziggler.
I wouldn't even call this being in the spotlight.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're being put behind Jack Swagger. Like, something has happened, or there must be a reason for why we are witnessing this. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, you know, it really doesn't make sense to me either.
The one thing I did notice tonight, though, was Jack Swagger sporting his very new schoolboy-like haircut.
He's rocking the coif now. The bouffant.
Now, this, of course, would set up Santino Marella versus Jack Swagger. And immediately, before we even... I mean, as soon as the match started, David Otunga and John Laurinaitis walk out of the entranceway.
Yeah, so essentially the match starts, and Jack Swagger gets the early advantage on Santino, beating him down. And then, like you just said, we see John Laurinaitis and David Otunga make their way down to the ring. And Otunga then would distract the ref, and Ziggler would then, while the ref is distracted, he'd clothesline Santino down. Swagger would then go for the powerbomb on Santino, hit it. He'd get the two count. And then at this point, Teddy Long's music would hit, and he'd come down to the ring now with Kofi Kingston and Oksana. And then we'd cut to a break. And I think it was at this point you were mentioning something where, like, when we came back from the break,
it was funny.
It looked kind of odd.
I thought it looked odd because here you had Teddy Long go right up to John Laurinaitis, and those two were right in their face outside the ring arguing with each other. Mm-hmm. And then we went to commercial break. And then when we came back from commercial break, they were in their respective corners cheering on their opponents. And then for no reason at all, they just walked up to each other again
and started arguing
in the exact same spot. And it was almost like...
did look kind of odd.
It's almost like they weren't supposed to do it originally until after the commercial break.
I see.
And then they went back and did it all over again.
I see.
I don't know. I thought that was something I picked up on.
Well, anyways, after we got back from the break, Laurinaitis would then get on the apron, and he tried distracting the ref. But Teddy Long would come up from behind, pull him down to the floor. And Santino then would try to take advantage of the ref being distracted, but Ziggler would cut him off. I guess it was with a clothesline. Kofi would then try to get involved, but Ziggler would then knock him down too with a dropkick. It was at this point Santino would hit the Cobra now on Ziggler, knock him off the apron. And Oksana and Vicky at this point started fighting on the outside. So
interesting.
Something that we You
know, I'm not going to read too much into that.
Vicky Guerrero cross shot, that which nobody needs to see, but...
Yes, that's true.
Anyways, it was at this point Santino would then again try to go for the Cobra on Swagger, but Swagger reversed it into an ankle lock. But the ref was too busy looking at what was going on the outside of the ring between Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis, so he didn't see that Swagger had the ankle lock on him.
And Teddy Long actually pushed John Laurinaitis to the ground at this point.
Yes, so a little bit of physicality happening there. And then Santino would reverse the ankle lock by tossing Swagger off into the corner turnbuckles, and then he would roll him up with a schoolboy roll-up, and then the ref would finally... you know, pay attention, and he counted the three count, and there you go, Santino Marella, after about a 3.5 minute match, he is your new United States champion.
Ultimately setting up the biggest face pop at WrestleMania. We're going to see Santino walking out with a title belt in his on his shoulder.
It's going to be nuts. The roof's going to blow off.
I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that they took the belt off of Swagger, because I think they're going to really start pushing Ziggler and Swagger as a tag team
going forward. I think that's
The whole reason we saw the belt taken off Swagger tonight. Mm-hmm.
And the best part about this match would have to be the aftermath when Santino actually wins the U.S. title and realizes it, because boy, was it the...
He was bawling buckets, man.
He was crying a river in every aspect of the phrase.
It kind of made you think that he'd never held a title belt before. But
I thought I was laughing.
No, it was good. Santino's such a good performer.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't understand these people who say he's not a good wrestler, because he is. He's a fantastic talent, both in and out of the ring. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I think.
It's at this point that John Laurinaitis actually cuts Santino's music off, and he says, "Raw is my show. Teddy Long, you can't do this." And Teddy Long steals the mic away from him, and he says, "This is your show, but tonight it's mine, and I'm gonna give everyone in the WWE universe a present." He calls out security, and Teddy Long tells John Laurinaitis to get out of the building. He throws his jacket at John as he leaves the ring, and security begins to restrain him, which I thought was weird, because here you have John Laurinaitis voluntarily walking out of the ring, and as soon as he gets out of the ring, security grabs him by the arms and holds him, you know, holds his hands behind his back. And I thought that was, as a security guard, why would you do that for someone who's not even resisting leaving?
That looked really, that looked really odd.
And Teddy Long then hands back the microphone to Justin Roberts, who again announces Santino as the new U.S. champion. And we continue the river of tears with Santino.
And then the bugle dance.
He gets everyone in the ring to do the trumpet with him. And
the trumpet, thank you.
Yeah, Teddy Long, Oksana, Kofi Kingston, and Santino all doing the trumpet in the ring. Wow.
Well, at least it's not Kane doing it.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler, after this, tells us that coming up next, The Rock is going to give everyone a history lesson tonight. Here we go with that.
Oh, boy.
And after commercial, we go to an earlier today with The Rock standing in Boston near a Navy ship. And this is one of his history lessons, multiple history lessons that we get throughout the evening. And he says, "Tonight, you get history lessons from The Rock. Here in 1773, Boston, they started a revolution, the Boston Tea Party. And tonight, they're going to have a party of their own, because tonight, they're going to throw Cena merchandise into the water." And at this point, The Rock starts to throw shirts. He throws a John Cena clock, John Cena boxers. He brings up a John Cena garden gnome, and he says, "Who owns this?"
He says,
"If there's any 30 or 40-year-old man who has this, he's a virgin."
In their garden, they're a virgin, yeah.
And he also throws a John Cena wristband over the bridge and into the water, and then he shows John Cena cologne. Apparently that exists out there.
I know. I was like, John Cena cologne? Are you serious?
Well, exclusively at Kmart. And
for the woman who wants her man to smell like John Cena.
Yes.
After a match.
And The Rock smells the John Cena cologne, and he says, "Yep, smells like fear, fruity pebbles, and possum piss." And he says, "The revolution, it begins tonight. You can take everything that John Cena has, roll it into a ball, and stick it straight up your Rudy Tootie, fresh and fruity, candy ass." And he says, "The revolution begins tonight," and he's calling it the People's Party.
My first question here was, is he actually throwing this merchandise into the Boston River, do you think?
Of course.
Really?
But then he also made reference to someone afterwards saying, "Go and get that out of the water." So at least they're doing their part for the environment.
We never saw anything actually hit the water, did we?
Well, where do you think it's going?
I don't know.
You think they got it on a string?
I don't know. Maybe they got something there catching it. I don't know.
I'm sure.
Anyways, my initial reaction was like they had that table full of merchandise in front of him as he's throwing stuff off of it. Why didn't he just pick up the whole table and toss the whole table into the Boston River? That's what I was waiting for in this whole segment.
That would have been all right.
That would have been good. That's what I was waiting for, and we never got it.
Okay, well, here is your first chance to see The Rock tonight, James. You know, last week on our show, you had mentioned that you want to see a more serious Rock. We didn't get that here.
Oh, and yeah, right away I'm like, oh man, another goofy Rock video package. Like, this is not what we need after we just got schooled at the end of last week's Raw. Like,
so not liking it immediately.
Immediately, I'm not feeling the Rock.
And the other thing that's worth mentioning here about this segment is that it's pre-recorded. It's not live. So you want?
I want the Rock there in person, live, serious, angry, intense. Bring up your past. You know, these are my accolades. This is who I've beaten. This is what I've done. We don't get that from The Rock. All we've gotten from The Rock are insults and catchphrases.
Well,
That's it.
You didn't get that at this point of tonight's Raw, but you'd have to say you probably got a little later on.
Not really.
Oh, I disagree. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
After this history lesson from The Rock, we go to Alicia Fox, who's standing in the ring, and Kelly Kelly sitting at the commentator's table where she promotes her nomination for the biggest butt kicker at the Nickelodeon Awards coming up, and then basically reminding us that we should all vote now for her.
Woo, the Nickelodeon Awards.
Eve Torres walks out, and this would set up Eve Torres versus Alicia Fox.
Right, so essentially the bell would ring, and the two ladies would lock up, and Eve would eventually take Alicia down first. They'd run the ropes for a little bit, and then Eve would get taken down after showing off. And then basically the finish came when Eve countered Alicia's move into a roll-up for the quick win. What, 30 seconds?
Yeah, that match did not last very long. There you go.
So,
and Eve wins, immediately looking to Kelly Kelly at ringside. And Zack Ryder, of all people, his music hits. And Ryder walks out wearing a crutch, and he's got a microphone in his hand. And he says, "Don't bother, Eve. I'm actually glad we never hooked up, because you know what they say, broskies before hoskies."
So was the whole purpose of this Kane, Cena, Zack Ryder, Eve Torres program that we had to suffer through for the first 2 months of the year, was that just all to make Eve Torres a heel?
No, it was called Time Filler while The Rock promotes his new movies. That's the way I'm looking at this, because, you know, and by having Ryder and Eve Torres associated with John Cena, that puts them into the main event spotlight, because you got to admit, this interaction that Eve had with Cena, that has put her in their spotlight. I actually think, I really enjoy Eve Torres right
now. I'm just glad Eve Torres isn't a one-dimensional character anymore.
I think she's standing out from the rest of the divas.
Exactly. She's not one-dimensional anymore.
And I think she's doing a very good job of this angle.
Yeah, she's
starting. You can't deny that she looks great.
I will agree with you. She's starting to win me over in her heel role.
Yeah. I think she's one of the most, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think she's one of the better divas out there with this sudden heel turn.
I wouldn't go that far.
But. Well, who's better? What, you're going to say Beth Phoenix?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But they're not even giving her the time of day these days.
She wasn't even on Raw tonight. Can you believe that?
The Divas Champion.
The Divas Champion, and she's not even on Raw. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind.
Well, that's what...
And there's a good possibility she might not even get a match at WrestleMania. That's just even more stupid, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Before we head to commercial break, we dissolve to a completely empty TD Garden Stadium with who else but only John Cena sitting there. And this was taped earlier tonight, and they say that he'll be speaking candidly about his match with The Rock a little later.
Yeah, it was...
interesting. we are then backstage near the WrestleMania 28 semi-truck, and Eve Torres runs up to Zach. She catches up to him in the backstage area, and she says that she has something to tell him, and she just grabs his head and starts making out with him. And as soon as she does, it's a pretty passionate kiss. Again, I'm pretty jealous of Zack Ryder. And as soon as she's done making out with Zack, she runs off, and she leaves a Zack Ryder who's grinning from ear to ear. So we go from John Cena to Zack Ryder.
Well, Zack Ryder still selling the Kane injury, or the Kane beatdowns, I guess.
And this kiss comes 10 minutes after Ryder, you know, called her a hosky.
And he's all smiles. I know,
it's amazing what one kiss can do.
Well, I guess they're just showcasing how dumb guys can be, I guess, when women use their charms.
So where does this go from here, do you think?
I don't know. Where would this go from here?
I mean, you're not going to, like, what are you setting up here? Eve Torres versus Kelly Kelly, and Eve has Zach in his inner corner? Like, do you think Zack Ryder's going to have a match at WrestleMania?
As far as it's going now, it doesn't look like it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe him versus The Miz?
I'm thinking he's going to accompany Eve to WrestleMania.
I think so, eh?
Which is not the greatest place to be in.
No, I wouldn't say.
No, that's where I'm thinking.
So you're thinking it's going to be Eve Torres versus yes. Kelly Kelly at WrestleMania?
For the Divas, the one Divas match on the show. Yeah, I do think that. And I think Zack Ryder is going to be not wrestling actively, but he will be involved in the show accompanying Eve Torres.
It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
It's at this point in the evening that we get our always great, gratuitous shots of the WrestleMania 28 sign in the arena.
And I'm just amazed at how huge this thing is.
I know.
How much do you think that thing weighs?
Oh, I'm sure it's hollowed out, so I'd say probably 40 pounds, 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't think very heavy. We then go to earlier today with this John Cena sitting alone in the TD Garden, and we get a montage of, you know, this dramatic piece that they've put together, another pre-taped segment promoting the main event of WrestleMania. We had The Rock earlier with his history lesson, and now here we have John Cena sitting alone in the TD Garden, and he says all eyes are focusing on him and The Rock, and he says there's no denying that Dwayne is the most successful man in the history of professional wrestling. He vowed not to come back until he found a worthy opponent, and he decided it was John Cena. Cena says that he's just honored to be at WrestleMania this year, but he wants to and needs to win. He talks about Boston and its heartbreak. He references the New England Patriots and their 18-0 record, only to come in second place. That's got to hit close to the home of the fans
Boston,
and the audience.
Boston, don't talk to me about heartbreak.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. John says that he's proud of what he's accomplished so far, but WrestleMania 28 is everything, and if he doesn't win, he just becomes another name. But if he can walk into The Rock's backyard in Miami and at the end of the day have his hand raised, then he wins the big one. This is an event that will make history. It is what it's supposed to be, the most successful event in the history of the WWE, and no one will remember second place. That's why he needs to win. It's sink or swim, all or nothing. WrestleMania 28 is his legacy, once in a lifetime.
I thought it was actually pretty good. I thought it built.
Now you didn't think this was a little cheesy?
No, I like the seriousness and I like the intensity of it, and I like, you know, how he's bringing up the past of Boston and stuff like that, and what the match actually means to him deep down. At the end of the day,
here you have John Cena acting like this is the biggest match of his life. Super serious, super emotional.
Oh, really? It is.
And then on the other hand, here you have The Rock treating like it's a big joke, throwing Cena merchandise into the, you know, the river.
Catchphrase here, insult there.
Two very opposite spectrums heading into WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I'm going over to Cena's side here. I'm going over the dark side, God. Man. I can't help it.
I can't believe that.
I can't help it, man. See, this as much is what, as I love The Rock, I'm going over to the dark side here.
This is what frustrates me about this. They are promoting this whole program with videotaped segments, pre-recorded segments.
You Satellites, have a, this, you have Twitter,
a,
this.
You have a professional Facebook editing that. Team. You have a professional editing team convincing you to cheer for the guy who just took on Kane in an ambulance match, folks. Have we forgot about that? James, have you forgot about that? I cannot believe you're sitting here telling
me
you're going for John Cena when the guy has given us absolute garbage for the last year.
I'm your average WWE fan. I don't remember 2 weeks ago. Come on now, Corey.
You're just being convinced by these professional videos. That's what's happening here.
No, Cena's just cutting more believable promos than The Rock is.
But you're liking the seriousness of John Cena. But Rock is going a different route.
That's not the route Rock should be going. Rock shouldn't be going this whole jokey route that he's going. He should be doing what Cena's doing, being intense, saying, yeah, this is my past with wrestling. These are the guys that I've beaten. You know, if it wasn't for me paving the way, you wouldn't even be here. But we're going to get none of that from The Rock.
Well, not at this point, but we do later.
Well, I hope we do.
We'll get there. After a commercial break, we then have CM Punk, his music hits, and he walks out wearing his WWE Championship. And we are then shown footage of last week when Chris Jericho attacked CM Punk from behind, and he ended up slamming Punk on top of the entrance ramp, and he put CM Punk in the Lion Tamer, or as the Walls of Jericho, as they referenced.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus's music then hits. He walks out, and during his walkout, and this is something I wanted to bring up because this is very interesting to me. It's during Sheamus's entrance that they decide to roll the advertisements, which I just found funny. Here's your 2012 Royal Rumble winner, and while he's walking out, let's, you know, roll ads for Kmart. And while they're rolling the ads for Kmart, they're advertising that you can buy the exclusive WrestleMania 28 chair. Now, this is the first time they've ever done that. Now, I don't know if you know this, but all past WrestleManias, if you buy tickets to the first 20 rows, you are actually able to bring your chair home. The first 20 rows have always been chairs that
it's a really cool souvenir.
It is. It's a souvenir chair that is specific to that pay-per-view that you have gone to. For the first time ever, they're allowing anyone to buy this chair at Kmart. So that collector's item seems to be more of a novelty now.
Oh, I think it's a good good souvenir to bring back from the show, and I'm glad that they're doing that.
But before, in order to get one of these chairs, you had to pay big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you can just get it at Kmart for probably $40.
You don't like that?
No, I don't like that. It ruins the prestige of the previous steel chairs to me. Those were a hot commodity.
I don't know. I'll disagree. I have to disagree with you on that. I like that they're making it available to everybody.
That's just because you shop at Kmart and you love that store so much.
What can I say? I'm cheap. Cheap like Borscht.
Y2J's music hits after we are shown the advertisement during Sheamus's entrance. And he walks out wearing his lit-up jacket. I thought we might have lost that by now, but no, he's going with it. And this would set up a tag team match of CM Punk and Sheamus versus Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, this was actually a pretty long match. CM Punk and Chris Jericho would start the match out, and it was actually really fast-paced. They'd start doing some chain, a couple whips, jump overs, lots of arm drags. Eventually, Daniel Bryan would get tagged in, and then Sheamus would get tagged in. So I guess they were kind of... It was supposed to be kind of like a preview, I guess, of the WrestleMania
and from what title I saw, matches here. From what I saw, I liked both of them.
Oh, I think they're going to be two really good matches.
I liked what I saw with Jericho and Punk, and I liked what I saw with Bryan and Sheamus. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think that's a really underrated match. I know they haven't really built the program up that much, but I think that's going to be a really good match at WrestleMania, that Sheamus-Daniel Bryan one. And you weren't too keen on it just a few weeks ago, but I think you're starting to warm up to it a little bit.
If they go the really good wrestling match route, like if it's going to be a really good match, then I'm starting to come around on it because I liked what I saw tonight.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we were just saying, Sheamus and Bryan were working well in the ring. There was this one point where Sheamus did the 10 clubs on Bryan's chest for the 2 count. Then Punk would eventually get tagged in. Mm-hmm. And then as we head to commercial break, Jericho would get tagged in after kicking Punk in the back as he hit the ropes from an Irish whip. And then there was a lot more action, a couple of hot tags on, or Sheamus would get the hot tag, and then Punk would get the hot tag later on. And the finish essentially came after Punk would go up to the top rope. He'd hit the Randy Savage style elbow drop that he always does. At this point, everybody gets involved. There's chaos everywhere, and it basically comes down to Jericho and Punk in the ring. Eventually, Sheamus would get thrown to the outside. Daniel Bryan would run across the apron, and he'd do that that running dropkick that he does. He does that pretty sick-looking running dropkick, eh? Yes. So eventually, Jericho went to go put Punk into the walls of Jericho, but Punk would reverse it, grabbing his head into like a roll-up. But the way they rolled up... I think it was Punk's shoulders were both on the mat,
yes.
Whereas Jericho had one shoulder up, so the ref counted 3, and it was actually Jericho pinning Punk cleanly with a roll-up. What do you think of that?
You don't see CM Punk lose very much these days, so this was very...
I think the last time we saw Punk lose was to Dolph Ziggler way back when they were building up Royal Rumble, wasn't it?
It was very surprising to see, and I think the crowd was stunned. I actually enjoyed this finish.
Really?
Yeah. Jericho ran straight for the title... And I don't know. I liked it.
You liked that? I don't know. I think it feels kind of weird having Jericho.
It's a tag team match. It's not a one match for the title.
Yeah, but the two guys are facing each other at Mania. And you just had one guy go over cleanly?
Well, basically from here until WrestleMania, are just going to one-up each other.
I mean, can see how it builds and moves the program forward, yeah.
But. It's just, now it's just a series of one-upping each other.
I don't know.
Probably one more promo battle thrown in before the big show, but I don't have.
I'm not saying it's disgusting, but I'm just saying it felt kind of odd to me.
It's not like to see
Jericho, win cleanly like that with a roll up. So,
but it's not like it was a convincing win. It was a last second roll up that got him the victory, right? So it's not like he destroyed him in the match.
Well, it was,
hit all of his finishers.
No, it was just like he rolled It was like he rolled through the roll-up to get Punk's shoulders down, so...
I don't have a problem with it. No. Makes Jericho look good this week. Who knows what will happen next week? Maybe Punk stands tall, right? Like, I don't have a problem with this one at all.
Yeah.
We then go to another history lesson with The Rock, and this time he's standing at a statue with Paul Revere, the great American patriot, and he's screaming... The Rock references Paul Revere, saying, "He said, the British are coming, the British are coming." And then he mentions the fact that what if John Cena had led the American Revolution like Paul Revere did? We'd be all sipping tea and praising the Queen. We'd be sick of you then like we're sick of you now, John. But the prayers have been answered because The Rock is here. And The Rock, he said he would invent a time machine. He'd go back to 1776 just to whoop John Cena's ass. The Rock then sings a song about sticking a feather up Cena's ass.
God.
And then he references The Rock is going to whip Cena's ass at WrestleMania, but before he does, he's coming back to the Garden tonight to get in John Cena's face.
He pulls a feather out of his back pocket that I guess he's had there the whole promo.
The whole point of this is really what? We're just promoting The Rock and Cena later on? I mean, just that wasn't very good.
You know what? I wasn't feeling any of these video packages tonight. No. I didn't like them at all.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going to leave that one right alone. Miz, at this point, walks out to the ring and... then the Big Show would walk out. But before the match can even get started, Cody Rhodes walks out and he says, "You know, there's no greater wake-up call than embarrassment." And this week he doesn't have footage of the Big Show losing at WrestleMania 18 because he wasn't even there. He has footage of the Big Show eating at WWE New York, which is the restaurant back in the day. So I guess during WrestleMania 18, Big Show spent the evening hosting a party at WWE New York.
So he wasn't even on the card then.
But here we are showing footage of him at this restaurant. And, you know, it was a very corny looking video. It wasn't that great to me, though.
Big Show with hair. I forgot what he looked like with hair.
But, really, was that much of an embarrassing moment that they showed at the Big Show? Because it ends with the Big Show putting his arm up in the air and he's going, "Woo!"
Doing like the Zack Ryder thing almost.
And that was like the big embarrassing moment, I guess. I thought this was really weak by Cody Rhodes.
I didn't think it was that embarrassing a moment. I mean, maybe the embarrassment is supposed to stem from that he wasn't on the card of WrestleMania that year.
I guess. I was more disappointed with the fact that WWE New York is closed. I wish we had that restaurant still open. That was a cool little place to go, I bet.
They closed, what, back in 02 or 03, I believe?
Oh, I can't remember the year they closed, but definitely should still be open, I think. I don't know. I thought that was really cool. It was good to see that footage.
I have no opinion one way or the other.
Well, I've never been there.
WWE New York.
But I've never been there, but if I go to New York, I'd like to have gone to a place like that. I thought that was a cool novelty place to go to.
That would have been a cool place to go to, but...
It's like going to the Hard Rock Cafe when you go on vacation somewhere, right? It was like going to New York, you... Have lunch at
WWE. It was just one of those, ventures of WWE branching out that didn't work, so.
Yeah, well, I don't know how that one wouldn't work.
Yeah, me neither. It seemed like it was packed all the time.
This ultimately, with Cody Rhodes showing us this footage, and, Miz was already in the ring, and Big Show standing in the ring, this would ultimately set us up for The Miz versus Big Show.
Right, so the match would start, and then The Miz would take advantage of The Big Show being distracted by the video package by running up behind him and throwing a few kicks and throwing a few punches, so eventually Big Show would be in the corner, and out of nowhere, he hit the big spear on The Miz. He'd lift up the hand, hit the big weapon of mass destruction punch on The Miz for the 1-2-3, so it was about another 30-second match, and the Big Show goes over clean.
There you go.
What more can I say about that? And second week in a row, Miz just being an enhancement talent.
I had asked you while we were watching this, are we going to see some sort of setup to WrestleMania for The Miz? Not at all. We got the exact opposite. Just complete burial.
Just squash. Hey, Miz, go out there and get squashed in 20 seconds, please.
Do you think he's on the show?
On WrestleMania? Mm-hmm. If he's going to be on the show, he's going to be the dark match. He'll be the dark match, or he'll be like, God, I don't want to say he's going to be in that Battle Royal. I wonder if they're even going to have that Battle Royal this year.
I don't know, but ridiculous regardless.
Main event 1 year, not on the card the next. And then you got Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. They're the dark match last year, and now they're one of the title matches this year. So it's funny to see the reversal of fortunes for some guys.
Crazy. We then go to history lesson number 3 from The Rock, and this is outside the Boston, Massachusetts State House, where the Americans...
Can I stop you? Because they announced, actually, after that Miz Big Show match, that It would be Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker having a face-to-face next week.
Oh, did they announce it? I missed that.
That was after the match there. So that's the big announcement for next week. We're going to have Shawn Michaels and Undertaker having a face-to-face next week on Raw.
Interesting. All right, good to know. So getting back to The Rock, standing outside the Boston State House, which is where the Americans fought for their independence, The Rock says that the same feeling that lives inside the State House is the same feeling inside The Rock. He says there's only one place in the world where The Rock can actually fight, though, and that's the WWE. He tells Cena that at WrestleMania 28, he will fall because of The Rock Revolution. But at first, he will electrify the Boston Garden, or should I say the TD Garden, and he tells John to get ready for it. So just another useless pre-recorded promo hyping up a face-to-face with Cena later tonight. Like, I could have done without these.
I hated all these video packages. Like, everything he said in these video packages, he could have easily just as well said right in the middle of the ring in front of the whole crowd, right?
It'll be interesting to see this week if the television rating second hour is increased as opposed to the first.
Maybe that's why the whole... Do you think maybe that's kind of a...
That'll be interesting to see.
A roundabout reason why they're doing it that way?
Well, I mean, here you are. You have The Rock in the first hour hyping up a face-to-face with Cena for the end of the show, which is, of course, the second hour. Maybe that's the reason why they did it.
It's possible. I could see that.
Oh, God, but I'd like to see that blow up in his face. Now, R-Truth's music hits. He walks out with little Jimmy at his side. And the lights go out. Kane's music hits. He walks out, setting us up for Kane versus R-Truth.
Again, another short match. It was basically about 3 minutes of brawling, and the finish would come when Kane would throw Truth into the corner and clothesline him. Kane would then run into a heel kick from R-Truth, and then he would go for the scissors kick, but Kane would duck the scissors kick and then hit the choke slam on R-Truth for the 1-2-3 at about, 3 minutes, maybe even 2.5. I don't know. I'm not timing these things
anymore. And after... I don't blame you. Well, it's tough. You got commercial breaks, right?
It's like, what do you time?
Yeah. And after Kane wins and he's celebrating his victory by raising his arms to the sky for the fire to come out from each ring post, Randy Orton's music hits, and he, with R-Truth distracting Kane, Randy Orton runs into the ring and he actually RKOs Kane, grabs a mic, and says, "It's good to be back."
R-Truth was actually holding on to Kane's leg.
That's right.
As Randy Orton ran in, and man, Kane just cannot sell an RKO. That was one thing I noticed, eh?
Yeah.
Actually, just
front
falling,
bumps in general.
Falling front bumps. Kane was never, ever, ever good at those. He always like puts a knee down, lands on his knee. It doesn't look good. So.
This whole program, Randy Orton and Kane, just being slapped together.
Wow. They got to find something for these two guys to do, right?
I know.
And I mean, they're two of the bigger names, or they're trying to make them, I guess, two of the bigger names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are two of the bigger names. What am I saying?
Is anyone excited for this match?
Well, how can you be excited with a 3-week buildup?
I know.
You know? Yeah. And you're right. It just reeks of being slapped together. I mean, wow, we got Kane running last week on SmackDown. Now we got Randy Orton running this week on Raw. So it's your very basic program going into WrestleMania. Probably opening match, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
No, I'm telling you, that's not going to be opening match, man. We'll put money on. When we get down to Miami, we'll put money on what the card layout's going to be.
John Cena's music hits. He walks out to a chorus of boos. And Cena gets in the ring. He says, "I thought you guys be excited. This place is packed." Of course, this is where John Cena's hometown is, Boston, Massachusetts.
Pretty negative reaction for your hometown.
Not good. Not good. You know, you're in Rock's backyard at WrestleMania, but you can't even come into your own backyard and get cheers these days.
Poor John Cena.
And he says, finally, The Rock is back. The real Rock. He's been all over Boston today giving history's lessons. He's seen him too. You know, The Rock's electrifying, exciting, everything that The Rock needs to be. But if you sift through all the infomercial act, what is The Rock saying about me? Of course, referencing himself. And he says The Rock's obsessed with breakfast cereal. He makes fun of the way John looks. Talks about his Clydesdale or whatever The Rock's calling his penis these days. Of course, this is referencing what The Rock had made a similarity between a Clydesdale horse and his own.
Oh, right, back in one of his forgettable video packages from earlier.
He wants to know, is he fighting The Rock or is he fighting the situation from Jersey Shore? The guy's trying way too hard. And did you see last week? The Rock was all shook up, and he wasted all of his time on Twitter plugging and stuttering. Didn't sound like The Rock. Sounded more like the Rain Man.
That was good.
And he says, The Rock shook? Who was the one with the smoking gun in the hand, in his hand? And Cena references himself in a joking way. He actually makes fun of his own look here, James. And he says, a week later, The Rock is still here, and apparently he has that University of Miami swagger back, and he wants to walk into the ring and meet John face to face. But that would be a mistake, because The Rock's best stuff is pre-recorded or by satellite. I like that line.
It kind of is, almost.
These days, it seems. But for Cena, it would be good because John needs to know who he's showing up or who's showing up as his opponent at WrestleMania. Is it going to be The Rock or is it going to be Dwayne Johnson? So bring him on out. And at this point, The Rock's music hits and he walks out to a... Or he walks out and he's a very serious-looking Rock at this point. Yeah, complete opposite from what we've seen up until now.
My first thought was, again, great intensity by John Cena. And I did really like how intense The Rock looked when he was coming out to the ring here. I thought, okay, maybe we're going to see The Rock really deliver something here.
Mm-hmm.
Make himself look good again.
Rock gets in the ring, grabs a microphone, and he says, I told everyone I was going to come into the ring, look you in the eye, and tell the world what I see. Fear. Fear that I'm taking everything away. Fear that everything you've worked so hard for the last 10 years, when I beat you at WrestleMania, that all goes away. You think you shook The Rock's confidence? The Rock's never been more confident in his life. And it's at this point, which of all things to happen, the fans begin to chant Tooth Fairy.
Oh man, I couldn't believe that. So there is a little bit of John Cena support out there.
Why? Why do you think that?
The chanting the Tooth Fairy?
Why would that be supportive for John Cena?
Because isn't that an embarrassing movie for The Rock?
They're saying that they like the movie. They're chanting Tooth Fairy because they are behind The Rock saying that they liked the Tooth Fairy.
No.
Yes, no. That's exactly why they chanted it. What do you think they chanted it for?
Tooth Fairy? Didn't you see it was all John Cena's fans chanting Tooth Fairy?
No.
Yes, John Cena even pointed them out to the crowd, and it's people wearing Rise Above Hate t-shirts that were chanting Tooth Fairy.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you miss that?
I think they were chanting it in support of The Rock.
No, they were not chanting it in support of The Rock.
Okay, I got to look at that one again. All right, fair enough. John Cena, he confirms with the crowd that that is actually what they're chanting. And The Rock, he cuts it all off and he says, understand this, Cena. You strip away the Hollywood, the glitz, the glamour. You strip it all away. And at The Rock's core, that's The Rock, who's a 260-pound, 6'4" guy who's going to rip your throat out. And at your core, you will always go down in history as being The Rock's bitch. And then Cena, at this point, is actually shown mimicking writing notes on his wrist. What do you make of that?
Making reference to the whole blow up of this notes on the wrist thing. No, I like that. I thought that was kind of funny.
So The Rock never did address it tonight on Raw, but Cena reminded everyone about it.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where you don't know if it's real or a shoot, and I like that.
I think without question, it's not real.
Really?
Yeah, without question.
I don't know, there's still a reasonable doubt for me.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. John Cena at this point, The Rock has walked to the back at this point, and John Cena has the microphone in hand after The Rock's left, and he says, Rock's weight and height, they don't intimidate him one bit. He said he was going to rip his throat out, and that's what he's going to have to do. But if you think that John Cena is afraid of The Rock, then you've lost your confidence in mind. Cena refutes The Rock's comment about being his bitch, and he says that he will beat The Rock at WrestleMania. And that's how it ends. He heads outside the ring, takes a sip of beer with his fans, and celebrates further with fans in the ring. He actually gets back out, hugs his dad, he kisses his wife, and he tells the camera that his brother's standing there as well.
Huh.
That's it.
Well, I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was a pretty good ending. And again, I thought John Cena came out of this looking way better than The Rock.
Mm-hmm. What I want, before I get to the very final thing on Monday Night Raw, did you at any point think, because he goes to give his dad a hug, and then he kisses his wife, and this is really the first time we've ever seen John Cena's wife on television.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's okay with Eve Torres just grabbing him and making out with him a couple weeks ago.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Well, that's what I was wondering when Eve a few weeks back kissed John.
Corey, that's like 3 weeks ago. We're supposed to forget that. It happened.
But that's ridiculous to me.
Come on, this is WWE. That was 3 weeks ago. That never happened, Corey.
I guess so. I guess no one else is putting that connection together. But that's
that
fine.
Never happened, Corey. Just like the anonymous Raw general manager. That never happened.
The actual final thing before we went off the air from Monday Night Raw was a montage music video advertising a Rock concert and a Cena rap next week on Monday Night Raw.
Interesting. So I guess now to further this program, we're going to have The Rock come out and make a silly song with more insults. And
probably playing a guitar.
Probably playing the guitar. And then we're going to have Cena come out and do a rap. And to me, this just screams Cena's once again going to come out looking good.
Yeah.
Oh, Cena's raps, they're really good.
So at what point will The Rock one-up John Cena here? Because in my mind, there's no doubt that The Rock is a million times better than John Cena. But I feel like The Rock is purposely holding back. Like, am I alone in that feeling?
You know what? I think you are. I think John Cena's truly getting the better of him.
No. I think The Rock could rip him apart.
Okay, well, you know what? I thought this week The Rock would come out and deliver something intense. And like I was saying earlier on the show, you know, bring up some of his past and his accolades. You know, I've done this. I've trailblazed for you. If it wasn't for me making this path, you'd never be here and you'd never be in the position that you're in, right? Mm-hmm. Show a little bit of respect, right? Like, no, it's just catchphrases and insults, and it's just, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe this is done by design to try to elevate Cena up to that same level as The Rock, so we have an equal reaction for him. But I mean, that's never going to happen in Miami.
You don't think so? Like, you don't think the WWE is doing a good job trying to sell the fact that it might be a split crowd in Miami?
There's no way in hell it's going to be a split crowd in Miami, man. Come on.
So it's going to be like 74,000 chanting The Rock and then one being yourself chanting John Cena?
Yes.
Well, I mean, like, that's to me what they're doing here. Yeah. And I feel like The Rock is just sort of, you know, he's agreed to tone it down a bit to take him up to the same level. That's... The Rock is way better than this. There's something going on that... First of all, the editing department is doing a fantastic job convincing that Cena is up there with The Rock. I don't think, based off what we've seen for the past year, that Cena is anywhere near where The Rock is.
In what fashion?
The programs, the bad acting. Well, everything Cena's done this year has been terrible.
You can't blame Cena for the programs. But I think you can't.
I can blame this entire era on John Cena.
Well, you can in a sense, but I mean, he does what's given to him, right?
John Cena, to me, represents everything that's wrong with wrestling. And The Rock represents everything that's right with wrestling, in my opinion. And I think that The Rock is really, really holding back to let John have a chance of making people believe that he will win this match. Because, you know, I think everyone realizes that John Cena will win this match if it is a clean finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to spend this time convincing the fans that it's a valid argument if he does win it. That's the way it's going here. I really think The Rock has agreed to tone it down. I don't think he's... If you let these two go at it, I don't think in any way John Cena gets the better of The Rock.
Really?
No. I don't. So you
don't think that Cena's mic skills are up there with The Rock's, is what you're saying?
I'm not denying that Cena has the mic skills. I don't think it's on the same level as The Rock. No, I don't.
Really?
First of all, you can tell The Rock is toning it down for PG, which is very hard for him. It's very hard for The Rock to tone it down to PG. He's doing the best he can by not, you know, he wants to swear and he wants to make references to stuff he's not supposed to.
Really?
Back in the day, he could have done that. He can't do that now.
Really? You think he's toning it down for PG when he's...
I think so.
When Cena's mentioning things like penis and Brock's mentioning things like Boston cream pies?
Yeah, well, they're obviously elevating it to a certain level, but it is still a very PG program. I mean, it's not like it used to be. You got to admit that.
No, it's definitely not like it used to be.
No.
Because it is the PG era, but I don't know. I just honestly believe that Cena has the chops to go toe-to-toe with The Rock as far as on the mic goes. And he's looking better than The Rock.
For two weeks.
Well, you know what? I got to see something freaking amazing next week for me to get back on The Rock's boat here. Because I'm liking Cena as far as this is concerned going forward.
Like, I actually thought the actual promo ability from The Rock during his history lessons tonight, I thought he actually, you know, he nailed it. The problem is that those are pre-recorded, so he could have had 15 takes.
Exactly.
But don't tell me for a second that that, you know, serious speech from John Cena in an empty Boston Garden, or sorry, TD Garden, don't tell me that's not pre-produced.
Oh, no, he probably had, you know, 20, 30 takes on that as well, right?
So you can't really gauge those, but can gauge the face-to-face at the end of the night.
It's the live face-to-face.
And you did, and you still thought that Cena had the better of him?
I do.
No, I disagree. Tonight? I thought The Rock had the better of Cena. If you eliminate all the previous stuff.
No way. Wow. I totally disagree. I think Cena once again came out ahead this week.
Yeah. Well, I'll be very interested to hear what others are saying as the week goes on.
Yeah, it should be. That's right. So send us a review on air at smacktalkradiolive.com.
Wait, what are you doing right now? Keep your hoodie on. Oh my God, you're revealing your John Cena t-shirt? Oh my God.
Does the bright orange blind you?
That is just ridiculous. I'm just joking. He's not wearing one. But it won't be long until you are. I can see it coming. The editing department has single-handedly convinced you to switch
Anyways,
sides.
Before I was so rudely cut off, I was saying, send us a review what you think of Raw. Our email is on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Also join in www.facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Or, of course, if you want to be trendy, follow us on Twitter at SRL Radio.
Now, before we get out of here, there's something I got to bring up. We had a contest running this week, and we were looking for opinions on just what the audience out there, fans of Smack Talk Radio Live, are thinking about the road to WrestleMania. Are they liking it? Aren't they liking it? So we had people submit their comments, and we've picked one, and that winner is going to receive a Smack Talk Radio Live hat. And the winner of the hat this week, James, is Mitchell Steinberg.
Mitch.
He's a local guy from Vancouver.
Congratulations, Mitch.
Now, he wrote us a really long email, so I got to cut it short, unfortunately. But let's just get his thoughts on The Rock Cena tonight. Mitch said that Cena came out and killed it. He almost joined Team Cena. He loved how the crowd gets hot for these two in the ring at the same time. It kind of reminded him of how hot the crowds used to be for an entire episode of Raw during the Attitude Era. And at the end of the show, he doesn't know who he's rooting for going into this match anymore. But most importantly, Mitch misses that feeling in wrestling.
There you go, you see?
No, I'm not buying it.
Well, you're slowly becoming the minority here, my friend.
In fact, Mitch, I'm taking the hat back.
No, you're not, Mitch. You're getting the hat. I will make sure it happens.
All right, well, we got to get out of here. This was SRL on a Monday night.
Just before we get out of here, I just want to send a quick shout out to my dad. It's his 59th birthday today, so happy birthday, old man.
Alrighty, now we are back Thursday for Smack Talk Radio Live. It's going to be a big show.
It's going to be a good show.
We're only half hour after Raw's over. Well, I guess we're an hour and a half now.
Isn't it Friday we'll be back?
No, Thursday. We're doing Thursday.
Are you sure you're not busy Thursday?
No, I am busy Thursday. But we're going to get a show up anyways.
Okay, we'll do it on Thursday.
But most importantly, I forget where I was going. You interrupted me and now I forget where I was going.
I derailed your train of thought there.
Oh, man.
We were talking about our show on Thursday.
Regardless, let's get out of here. How about that?
Okay.
I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
We'll see you on Thursday for Smack Talk Radio Live.